34 and verse number 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Tonight I want to speak about the opposite of what I spoke on this morning. I spoke this morning on the subject of blaming God. Blaming God. It seems to be the fallen nature of man to blame God for so many things. Many of these things he does not do. He has nothing to do with it. But people blame God. In Proverbs 19 and verse 3 it says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. His heart fretteth against the Lord. There's a lot of people who, in their fallen nature, their hearts fret against the Lord. They blame God for everything. It's the first thing they think of, is blaming the Lord. You know, they lose their health, it's God's fault. They lose their job, it's God's fault. They have a flat tire, it's God's fault. Wars are all God's fault, and hurricanes and earthquakes and famines and pestilences and so on and so forth, and they tend to blame the Lord. And we talked about the very first human being, Adam. Adam, as soon as he fell into sin, he blamed God. He said, the woman that you gave me, the woman you gave me, if you hadn't given her to me, God, none of this would have happened. And so I wanted to try to redirect our thinking away from that. Many of you do not have a problem in this area. You love the Lord. You praise the Lord. You bless the Lord. Your praise is continually, his praise rather, is continually in your mouth. Verse number 1. But this morning I gave you 7 directions of either fault or blame or reason for the things that happen in life. And you'll have to get this morning's message, but they were the devil. Number 1, the Lord said as soon as Adam and Eve had sinned and God found Adam and began to question him, it says, the Lord said unto the serpent in Genesis 3:14, because thou hast done this. God put the blame on the devil. He said, you did this. And the devil's been very good at getting people to blame God for many of the things he's behind. You know, all these wars and murders and stuff, the devil's behind that. Jesus said of those his enemies, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, because he abode not in the truth, neither is there any truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, it says he's the father of lies. And he's a liar, he's a murderer, he lusts to kill people. He got into the first family, he got Cain to kill Abel. And right from the beginning of time, as man has become more and more violent with each other, and all the wars and all the murders that have gone on, and the genocides and the abortions, the devil is behind all of it. The devil is behind all of it, and he ought to be blamed. Then number 2 is sin and sinners. In verse 16, the Lord began to pronounce consequences on Eve and consequences upon Adam for the decisions they made contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Word of God. God had given them one command. He gave the command to Adam, and Adam taught it to his wife, and his wife almost quoted it perfectly when she was being tempted of the devil in Genesis 3. So they knew what God's Word was. They knew what God's requirements were, and they sinned, because sin is the transgression of the law. They had one law to live by at that time: do not partake of this fruit of this tree. And they broke that law, and sin is the transgression of the law, so defined in 1 John 3 and verse number 4. And so they sinned. And so the second reason why there's these consequences, and we talked about them, work and sweat and death and sorrow and thorns and thistles and the ground and nature cursed. And we live on a cursed earth. The second reason is because of sin and sinners. Sin and sinners. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And we talked about time. There's this interesting verse in Ecclesiastes 9:11 that says, time and chance happeneth to all. And I explained some circumstances where just timing is sometimes wrong or right in our lives. And we talked about all the boys that were born back in 1922 and 23 and 24 and 26, 25, and how they just happened. That was the time they were born in the world. And as they got to be about 18, World War II broke out. And they had to go and fight. And 450,000 of them died in World War II at a rate of 300 boys every single day of that war. They died. Why? They just happened to be born at that time. Those that were born in 1927, 28, 29, not one of them died in the war. I was born in 57. I went into the military 3 months after Vietnam was over. I served in peacetime. But 55,000 a few years before me went and served and died. Timing. Time and chance happen at all. Whether it's big wars or individual events, like the World Trade Towers. Those people in 9/11 just were going to work, minding their own business. But time and chance happen at all. Number four was chance, and we talked about how things just happen by chance sometimes, and strange things. There was a bridge out here, and I think it was over the Schoharie Creek, heading out the Interstate 90, heading towards Massachusetts, and the metal underneath the bridge fatigued one day, and the interstate literally collapsed into the creek, and I forgot how many, I think 13 people died that day, and drowned, and a couple of them they never found them. Timing. Chance. Sometimes those are reasons why things happen. And natural laws, we talked about gravity, electricity, inertia, some of the laws of nature that were spoken into existence by God, and these laws are unalterable, and we are subject to them. And if you jump out of an airplane like the guy did a couple weeks ago and his parachute didn't open, you're subject to the laws of nature. And sometimes that's what happens, just simply subjection to nature's laws. It has nothing to do with God. I don't care if you're the worst sinner in the world or you're the best Christian in the world and you've prayed all day. If you jump out of an airplane and the parachute doesn't work, you can pray all the way to the ground if you want to. But you're going to die. And so there's natural laws. And then we talked about human error, number six, human error. People make mistakes. And sometimes people get killed, sometimes people get injured, and then number seven was accidents. And sometimes people's lives are altered or changed forever by accidents, or people die by accidents. We had a brother in the Lord who lives in Florida now, Brother Terry. Some of you remember him. And he was just minding his own business, driving down the road, stopped for a stop sign or a red light, I don't remember, and a drunk driver hit him in the back. Hurt his neck, hurt his back, and he's been through surgeries and every imaginable treatment, and his health has just kind of deteriorated because of an accident. Now, I gave you these seven reasons why things happen to us, why the consequences, why the injuries, why the accidents, why the deaths, and these things happen to all. Time and chance happeneth to all. Whether that's good things or bad things. He said the race is not always to the swift. It's not always the wise person who makes out well. Sometimes people are just in the right place at the right time. I believe we've had presidents in our country who were not fit to be presidents, but they just happened to be the right place at the right time. And others, by chance, were in the wrong place at the wrong time, like the lady jogging, 23 years old the other day, got hit by lightning. And died. And so, man's heart frets against the Lord. That is, fallen man, depraved man, his heart fretteth against the Lord. Proverbs 19:3. Now, some of you might be like that. I believe we have people in our church where once in a while it might be very, very soft, but once in a while you hear the venom come out of their tongue against God. For something they're holding against God. And deep down in their hearts, they've never released it. They've never let it go. They still blame God for something he never did. And they won't let it go. Some have quit church over that. Some have almost given up their faith because of that, because they can't reconcile something that happened in their life with one of these reasons. And, you know, I tried to bring a message this morning that would be preparatory for you, because something's going to happen to you someday. Something's going to happen to me someday. Things have happened to you. Things have happened to me. And God's watching our spirit. He's watching our heart at that time to see how we will respond to the things that happened to us, whether they were good or evil. And there are people who are fretting against the Lord, and they have a hidden bitterness at God, a hidden anger at God, and they're defiled by it. And they never advance in their faith. They're not in the Word anymore. They've got issues with God because of something that happened, that they want to pin the blame on God. And there may be some other reason for what happened. Maybe some other reason for what happened. Now, what is the solution? Well, I got into some solution. I just barely touched it at the end of the message. And I wanted to get into that. I want to talk about praise tonight. I guess the title of my message tonight is this: Don't Blame God, Praise God. Don't Blame God, Praise God. Or a subtitle to my message would be this: The Top Three Ways to Praise God. The Top Three Ways to Praise God. The Bible says a lot about praise in our King James Version. The word itself appears 216 times, and so I tried to do a study of those verses this week, and I noticed that God has given us all kinds of ways to praise Him. Some of them are unique. But I noticed that there were three different ways specifically that came out where he seemed to just say it over and over and over, giving us instructions on how to praise the Lord. It says here in verse 1, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Notice that I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. The medicine for our soul is thanksgiving and praise. That's the best medicine I know for the human soul, is to constantly thank the Lord, constantly praise the Lord. If we could live just by Psalm 34 and verse 1, we would never blame God again. But there's so many people who want to just blame God. It's the first thing that comes to their mind. They get a flat tire. They want to blame God. They get a hangnail. It's God's fault. Somehow I got a hangnail. They lose a job. They lose their health. Or something goes wrong. Why is God making this happen to me? It's their heart's fretting against the Lord. It's kind of hard to do that if we're blessing the Lord at all times. If His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Those who praise God continually do not blame God. They look for a way to praise the Lord. I remember one pastor, it's an old story, I think from the 1800s, he was renowned for always praising the Lord and blessing the Lord and thanking the Lord, even in the worst of times. He found a way to praise the Lord, and his congregation got quite used to it. He was always saying, no matter what happened, he found a way to praise the Lord. And one day he got almost beaten to death by a bunch of robbers. Almost left him for dead, took all of his money. And the word got out to the church, and everybody gathered that Sunday morning. They couldn't figure out, well, what's he going to say this time? Beaten to death, almost beaten to death and robbed so on and so forth. And so he just got up and he said, folks, I want you to know today that I praise the Lord, that I was almost beaten to death, but praise God, I'm still alive. And he said, I want you to know that I also want to praise the Lord that I was robbed and that I wasn't the robber. And he said, there was a time in my life when I was wicked and a sinner, and it could have been me that had done the robbing, except the Lord by His grace saved me, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I'm not robbing people anymore. I was the one that was robbed. And see, he looked for a way to just bless Bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The last psalm, I'll read this in verse number 6. Psalm 150 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Wouldn't that be something if the whole human race did that? What a world. What a world. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine how it would change everything? Change your marriage. Change your marriage. If every wife said, praise the Lord for my husband, thank God for him. Every husband said, praise the Lord for my wife, thank God for her. Every child said, praise the Lord for my mom and dad, or I got a mom, I got a dad. And, you know, I think of the two kids that got baptized this morning, what they're going through. And I'm probably the only one that knows the story. It's just not right. And, boy, it would just change our attitude. Praise the Lord, I'm mobile. I can walk around. I can hear, I can see, I can feel, I can touch, I can eat, I can breathe. My heart's beating. Oh, my, so much to praise the Lord for. Imagine if everyone just praised the Lord. Praise the Lord for our church. Praise the Lord for my brothers and sisters in the Lord that I can have fellowship with, that I know will be there if I need someone to pray with me. And, oh, there's so much. Now we're commanded, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want to encourage you to praise the Lord. There are some people who are absolutely convinced that God has done some injustice, that God has been unjust in something. I feel sorry for them. I think when we get to that point, it just ends our progress spiritually. And we begin to regress spiritually. As soon as we think God's done something wrong, God's done some injustice, we begin to go backwards. Oh, praise the Lord. So 216 times we find this word praise in the Bible. 90% of those times is in the Old Testament. Praise is like a real strong Old Testament doctrine and discipline. It's just especially brought out in the Old Testament. 24 times it's brought out in the New Testament. I mean, we still should praise the Lord. Now, what does praise mean? The word praise means to glory in, to boast about, to commend, to celebrate. When we boast about God, we're praising the Lord. Notice verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When we boast in the Lord, when we glory in the Lord, when we glory in the Lord, when we say, my God did that, when we celebrate the Lord, when we commend the Lord and say, Lord, you're just wonderful, and we show him how we feel about him. Now, there seems to be three types of people in this matter. A, those who blame God for almost everything. I talked about them this morning. I feel so sorry for them. B, those who praise God. And I hope that's what we'll be tonight. I hope you'll just pray. I hope this praise will continually be in your mouth. And then C, those who do neither. Those who do neither. Some just do neither. They never praise the Lord. They don't blame the Lord. They just never praise the Lord. And you know, I think when we do not praise the Lord, we are withholding from him something he is worthy of. Sometimes we preach on stewardship, and we say, don't withhold tithes and offerings from the Lord. He is worthy of our tithes. He is worthy of our offerings. But he's also worthy of our praise. And we ought not to withhold from God the praise that is worthy of his name. Pastor Seth always talks about those who curse God all week. There's been people out there all day cursing God, and they've been very loud about it. And using God's name in vain, or using God's name lightly. And those who aren't cursing God, the majority of the rest of them are just ignoring God, never say a thing about him. They're just indifferent. Some of them maybe would never think of cursing him, but they never praise him either. But do you understand really how few people really praise the Lord? How few people really continually just praise and praise and praise the Lord. He is so worthy. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boast about God. Glory in Him. Commend Him. Celebrate Him. Negligence of this can be very, very dangerous. And I really believe that a negligence of the doctrine and discipline of praise has shown its fruit in our country of America. What do I mean? I mean this, and you're familiar with this. In Romans 1, it says this. It says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, now listen to the next thing, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Now what is praise? Thankfulness. Hebrews 13:15. We'll see that later. It talks about the degeneration of a society here. It says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. What was the result? They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But that's horrible degeneration. Did you see where they end up? What a corrupt society. But where did it start? It says this, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. They were just indifferent. They didn't blame God. They didn't praise God. They just didn't do anything. They didn't worship God. They didn't glorify God. They didn't thank the Lord. And as a result, their children got worse. And the next generation got worse. And the next generation got worse. And pretty soon they were haters of God, dishonoring their bodies among each other, all kinds of horrible sins of the flesh, and all kinds of just despicable behavior. But it all goes back to the fact they quit praising God. They quit thanking God. They quit glorifying God for who He was. It sounds like negligence of praise is a very dangerous thing to do in a country as well as in an individual. And there's not enough praise of God going on. A lot of times people think praise of God is like 15 minutes in a service on Sunday and then let's shut it off and go back home. No, it's like, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is probably the frustration that I tried to bring out this morning of the psalmist. If you want to look over at Psalm 107, Psalm 107 is a psalm where the psalmist just seems to be very, very frustrated. And he says in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness And for his wonderful works to the children of men, he's just kind of like the cry of his heart's coming out. He's saying, why don't people praise God for his goodness? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the men. And then notice, if you will, in verse 15, in verse 21, in verse 31, he says the same words four times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In each case, he gives a different scenario where God comes through miraculously and wonderfully to help people. Notice also four times this verse, verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Notice that every time they cried to the Lord, God helped them. And then just a verse away, he would say this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Have you ever done that? Have we ever been guilty of praying and saying, oh, God, help me, I'm in distress, I'm in this situation, and there's four different situations in that psalm, and we cry out to the Lord, and the Lord delivers us. But afterwards, we fail to praise him. Pastor Jack Scott has said one of the most profound truths I've ever heard in my life at a meeting where he's preaching pastor school. And he said that we ought to praise the Lord after the prayer was answered as much as we prayed before the Lord's prayer was answered. We ought to praise the Lord as much after the prayer was answered as we prayed to the Lord before the prayer was answered. And I got to thinking about that, and I think he said it too. You know, great advice, but whoever does it? Whoever does it? Can you imagine if you prayed for a month for God to do something, and then he did it? And then you just praised him for a month afterwards? Or sometimes for a year, we pray that God would maybe save a loved one of ours or somebody, and God came through, God would heal us, God would meet a need, God would help somebody. And that we'd praise the Lord. You know, I got to see Brooklyn Liepler at church Wednesday night. She's doing fine. And when I was at the church in Alamo, some of us were praying very, very fervently for her because of the rare disease that had infected her body this year. Put her in the hospital. They didn't even know if she was going to live. There she was in church Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord afterwards as much as we do beforehand. After the need, after the healing, after the provision, or just for his goodness, even if no prayer was ever asked or answered, but sometime we just recognize his goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. It's sad that we're bored with this subject tonight. It really is. It's sad that we're bored with this subject tonight when it's really one of the most important things we'll ever do is praise God. It'll change your life. It'll change your attitude. It'll set you up for victory when the unknown happens in your life. It'll set you up for victory when that accident happens in your life, when that time or chance happens in your life, or mine, or when the consequences of some sin, you know, I'm going to die someday. You know why? Because of sin. But I hope I can face that day and just say, well, I knew this was coming. The consequences of sin. It's not God's fault that I'm dying. It's man's sin. And I hope I can die with my heart right with God because I've learned to praise the Lord in my life. So let me just give you these three and then we'll have the Lord's Supper tonight. As I studied praise this week, the verses on praise, there's many, many ways to praise the Lord, and just you have to do the study on your own. But I noticed three that were the most prominent, the most pronounced. And number one was words from the heart. words from the heart. Now again, as we saw this morning, if our hearts are fretting against the Lord, Proverbs 19:3, we're never going to praise the Lord, never. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in our heart is what the mouth speaks. And I'm concerned about some people. There's some people I haven't heard them praise the Lord in any way, shape, or form in years. And I know they've got issues with God because they think God did something unjust. And they're setting themselves up for a fall. Oh, we need to keep our hearts with all diligence. The Bible says, for out of it are the issues of life. And words from the heart. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. In Psalm 9 and verse 1 it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. We need to praise the Lord with words from the heart, constantly boasting about God from the heart, glorifying Him, not ourselves, but celebrating what He has done. In Luke 18 and verse 43 it says this, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. See, they saw the works of God and they all praised the Lord for this blind beggar that Jesus had healed. You know, we ought to have our eyes open to see the works of the Lord and to praise God for them. You know, sometimes we get a little whimper sometimes when somebody stands up and says, you know, I got to lead someone to Christ. Maybe somebody whimpers a little amen or something. We got to be careful about that. We ought to thank the Lord anytime there's some brand plucked from the burning, some soul that's saved. We ought to just thank God for it. Luke 19, and verse 37, it says, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. I mean, the whole multitude. You know, sometimes we are critical, and we shouldn't be, but we're critical sometimes of charismatics and Pentecostals. But if you ever attend their meetings, there's times where all of them with one loud voice just praise and thank the Lord. I think too many of us would be inhibited by our pride doing that. We might not agree with some of their doctrine and everything. And maybe there's areas where we're a little more accurate in our doctrine than they are and everything, but they love to praise the Lord. I've been in their meetings before. There's everybody screaming out and shouting and so on and so forth. And it doesn't have to be scheduled in a church setting. It can be spontaneous like this. When they saw the mighty works of the Lord, they all just cried out with a loud voice and praised the Lord. I was sitting down with my Uncle Don this afternoon. He loves the Lord so much. He just got back from Africa. He goes to a Baptist church down in North Carolina, and about 12 of them went to Africa, and they went to a tribe that had recently had the Bible translated into their language, but they've never been able to read it or anything. They're an oral tribe. They're not literate. They're not literate. And so they went there, and these 12 men literally, this was the deepest, darkest parts of Africa. I mean, just picture your mind, that place maybe you're most afraid to go. They were the first white men these black people had ever seen in their lives. And they have to use the new tribes method of evangelism, knowing these people knew nothing. And they had 42 different pictures, flannel graph pictures of Bible stories starting from Genesis. And they had to literally go from town to town there, starting with the Genesis story. Because you can't go to Calvary. They don't know what's that about. What did they kill him for? You got to have the creation of man, the fall of man, and so on and so forth. And it all builds up and all makes sense. They had to literally, in every meeting, they had to go through 42 stories through a translator. Took hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. These are people that have never received the gospel, and Don was just so happy today to come back and report that 255 of these Africans accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but it took hours to explain the gospel to them. And they would have to just go down trails, and then the guide would say, "You three go over to that town." They'd have to walk miles, and "You three go to this town." There's just 10, 12, 20 in each town or something. They go down to town with these pictures, flannographs. Man alive. I got pretty excited when I heard about that. I said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And now the translator is going to be working there to try to plant churches and follow up on them. Oh, I thank the Lord for where the gospel's going. You can't take the gospel to the wrong place. God still uses the gospel anywhere He finds someone to work it. And my Uncle Don, you know, I think of how my brother George went to his house and led him to Christ one time. He lived up on Langford Road here in North Collins. And he was a school teacher at Hamburg all of his life. And my brother George got saved and got burdened for Uncle Don one day, went out to his house with his Bible and showed him how he and my Aunt Alice could get saved. And they accepted Jesus as their Savior, brought up their two daughters to know Christ. Their one daughter married a pastor who was down in Pennsylvania. Married a pastor, and now Don just got back from Africa, went by himself. He said, "Man, you talk about faith. You know, we were scared, we were frightened, we couldn't communicate or anything, but God used us." I just said, "Praise God's holy name. Praise the Lord." Words from the heart, words from the heart, praising the Lord. That's the most common way any one of us can do that. Words from the heart, praising the Lord. Hebrews 13 and verse number 15 puts it this way: "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's what praise is. Continually, just like we saw in Psalm 34 and verse 1, "I will bless the Lord continually." It says here, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord in private. We ought to praise the Lord in public. There's examples of public praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 19 says, "And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." They stood up to praise the Lord. Their hearts were just so tender. They didn't have to fabricate it. It just came out of their hearts. Perhaps our hearts maybe are not right with God tonight. We'd have to fabricate praise. Have to make it up. Over in Psalm 22 and verse number 25, it says this: "My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him." My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I want to encourage you. Well, sometimes we have testimony time. Just praise the Lord. Can be something simple, something quick. But just say, "I'm just that, not that type." Well, then change. Change. Say, "Praise the Lord." I don't care if you stand up and say, "I don't know what to praise the Lord for. I just want to praise the Lord." Just praise God's holy name. God is good. Let us praise Him in the great congregation. We need to be careful about praise. And especially when it's something God has done for us or through us, because I don't know about you, but we always want to, if we're not careful, take a little bit of that credit, you know, and get a prayer answered, or lead a soul to Christ, you know, or see some miracle or some provision. We just pray for someone else, see something happen. If we're not careful, we just want to get a little bit of that credit ourselves. And we need to be careful. You know, we ought to praise the Lord for something. We ought to do that. We ought to praise the Lord for that. Man, I just had a great experience Friday night at the youth rally. And, man, I couldn't believe it. It was a divine appointment. The youth rally was over. We were all going out to get pizza. Some guy just walked in the church, a Ukrainian. Lived in Buffalo for 10 years from Ukraine. And as we were all walking out to get pizza, he sat down and he just kind of looked at me, and I said, "Sir, would you like to go out and have some pizza with us?" And so he joined us, went down pizza, followed me around and everything. I could see, "This guy wants to talk to me about something." He spoke very good English. Very good English. And he finally said, could I talk to you somewhere alone? I said, sure. Be glad to. Now, this wasn't your typical soul-winning story. Because the first thing, I'd learned some things about him. His wife back in Ukraine hasn't been able to get her here for 10 years. Can you imagine that? There's some real people carrying burdens out there. So I went back into the church while everybody's eating pizza, and I said, what is it? His name was Mikhailo. I said, what is it? He says, do you believe in ghosts? I said, oh, brother, I'm into here. And I said, absolutely, I believe in ghosts. They're called spirits in the Bible. They can be designated as angels, which are ministering spirits, or there's evil spirits, and so on and so forth. He says, I don't know why. He says, I was just walking down the road today, right in front of the church, and I just got so scared that a ghost or a spirit was following me, I just ran into the church here. And I said, well, sir, I think if you will come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never have to be scared again. He's greater than all of that. And he was able to listen to the gospel and sweetly prayed with me to receive Christ as his Savior. And it was not something I went looking for, just something I just was praising God. I'd had a pretty full week. I was kind of tired, looking forward to going home. And then this guy came along and just, boy, that just kind of rejuvenates you. It just kind of rejuvenates you when that happens. And you just kind of have a head-on collision. With somebody ready to meet the Lord. Usually you got to go out and make things happen, but once in a while God brings somebody right to you. But those you have to be careful with, because there's always a part of me and there's always a part of you that wants to take a little bit of credit. But God says, my glory I'll not share with another. And you know what the best praise is? The best praise is when we praise God for something we had nothing to do about. You just look up at the stars. Say, wow, you are an awesome God. That is amazing. Wow, you did that. You made that. When you think about the earth and the creation, I'm just driving over the hills today on the way to Sprague Brook Park. Me and Dad, Leslie, just looking at the nature around us. What a beautiful state we live in. The things God has made. And you pick up the little forget-me-not flower and you say, only God can make that. Good job, God. It's amazing. Flowers, the perennials, all the hills, the trees, the valleys, the birds of the air, and the fowls, and the fish, and the animals, and it's just amazing. Only God could do that. You just praise the Lord. Words from the heart. The second most common was singing. The second most common way was singing. Many, many, many verses on singing. In Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 12. It says this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Especially in the Old Testament, so many verses, I'll sing praise to thee. And it unites singing with praising. Singing, and I know it's just semantics, I'm not trying to be divisive, but singing is usually not associated with worship. It's associated with praise, the praise of God. But over and over and over again, it tells us to sing. I want to encourage you to sing. And this word sing right here comes from the Greek word hymneo. We get the English word hymns from it. Hymns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? Will I sing hymns to thee? Hymns and praise are used simultaneously. Thank God for hymns. Thank God for the old hymns. Thank God for the new hymns. Hymns are poems that are put to music, usually accompanied by a stringed instrument. If you look up the literal translation of the word, it usually means a poem that is sung to a stringed instrument. When I was out Wednesday night at the church in Elma, a man and his wife got up, and the wife played the guitar while they sang a duet to it together, a poem, and it was powerful. It was wonderful. I will sing praise, we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, to sing with the spirit and with the understanding. Put your spirit into it. Put your emotions into it when you sing. And with the understanding, think about the words. Even if it's a song you've sung 1,000 times, think about the words again. And just sing it unto the Lord. singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. I want to encourage you to join in on the singing. Sing unto the Lord 7 times. Make it joyful to the noise unto the Lord. 14 times in the Bible. If we're not singing, if we're not making a joyful noise unto the Lord, again, it's a commandment that we are disobeying, and it is something we are withholding from the Lord. We should sing unto the Lord. And so don't be afraid to grab a hymn book when we sing and just sing unto the Lord. You have to sing good, but just sing unto the Lord. Sing with your spirit. Don't worry about what people around you think. Sing with the understanding. Sing. Singing is good for you. And it's a great way to praise the Lord. And then last of all, the most common ways, the three most common ways I found of praising the Lord is by playing instruments. By playing instruments over and over and over again, it says, especially in the Old Testament, that instruments were made for the main purpose. And as I saw this, you wouldn't believe how many verses there are that talk about how instruments were made to praise the Lord with. No wonder the devil has perverted music and used the instruments of our day for the devil. I think every time he sees these rock concerts and rap concerts and everything, I think he just rears back and laughs at man who's made in the image of God as he has perverted one of the most holiest ways of praising God with, and that's with instruments. Moreover, it says in 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 5, 4,000 were porters and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. That's just one verse. Can you imagine 4,000 instruments, Dan? It says so right here. David just mass-produced instruments. And 4,000 people praised the Lord with instruments. It says, said David, to praise therewith. And many other verses tell us about how these instruments were made to praise the Lord. Teach your kids music. Teach your kids to play instruments. Pay for lessons. Go broke paying for music lessons if you have to. It's one of the things I did with my children. All my children play musical instruments. All my children sing, and I thank God for it. I thank God for it. There are times I went broke buying instruments. $450 for a flute and $350 for a cornet and the violins. And I won't tell you how much my daughter's violin is worth and musical lessons and so on and so forth. I can get money. All right? I can get some money later on in my life. But I wanted to give them a way they could praise the Lord the rest of their lives. Now, some of you think you're not musical. Anyone can learn a musical instrument. Anyone can. It's not too late. I don't care who you are. Maybe some of you used to play instruments. Time to pick them up, blow the dust off of them. And get them out. And get at it. And praise the Lord. Get 4,000 people up here playing instruments. Imagine that. It's in the Bible. And so, these things, I think, will keep you from blaming God. These things, I think, will keep your heart right. Words from the heart. That's the first, most common way to praise the Lord. Just from our heart, saying, Lord, you're just amazing. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for how you helped this person. Thank you for that testimony somebody gave today, what you did for them. And then other times, just, Lord, thank you for things humans had nothing to do about, this universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, and the creation, and life, and breath, and the ability to move, have our being, all these things. Praise God with our words. Let God hear your word. Oh, God knows I'm thankful. All right? Tell your wife that. Oh, she knows I'm thankful. Ask her, honey, you know I'm thankful, right? Yeah. Would you like to hear it, though, once in a while? Oh, yeah. Ask your husband, ladies. Honey, you know I'm thankful for all you do, right? Yes. Would you like to hear it sometimes? I sure would. I sure would. Would it be, isn't it nice, parents, when your kids thank you sometime? Just, I mean, not with any prompting, just, Mom, Dad, just want to thank you for all you've done for me. Doesn't it make you feel great? We ought to thank the Lord. Oh, He knows I'm thankful. Well, say it. Say it in the great congregation. Next time there's a testimony meeting. I got to just say something. I just want to thank the Lord for being so good to me. And then sing. Even if you can't sing, just sing. Sing unto the Lord. It's just something. Just don't withhold that from God. He's worthy of your joyful noise, my joyful noise. And then learn a musical instrument and try to get better at it. If you know a musical instrument, man, it's just wonderful when people can play skillfully for the Lord and praise the Lord. You know, I have people, Dan, that sometimes say, Pastor Cole, I'd just die to have a church. Some pastors say this to me. I'd just die to have a church like yours where so many people play instruments. And I think it's a blessing. But there's another part of me that says so many more could. So many more could. Don't get them an iPod. Get them a violin. You know, get them a cell phone. Get them a trumpet or something. Man, brother, you should have heard this guy play the euphonium Wednesday night. Oh, at that church. That was a blessing. I told the pastor, I'll trade you two Sunday school teachers for a euphonium player. And this guy's, got a master's degree in music, and he teaches music, and euphonium is his. Well, amen. We need to have the Lord's Supper now, but I hope you'll leave here and just say, hey, I got a duty to praise God. I promise you, if you praise God, you'll never blame Him. You'll never blame Him. Oh, things will just be so fresh between you and the Lord. Look for ways to praise Him and thank Him for who He is. All right. Now, we're going to read and pray and then have the Lord's Supper. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I have received